So longtime CBS News correspondent. And I'm not even sure if he's retired now or not, but many of you are familiar with CBS News correspondent Bill Moyers. Remember him? All right. He has this deep voice, East Texas accent. Bill Moyers was a former Methodist lay preacher from the Piney Woods of East Texas. Well, during the presidential administration of Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s, Bill Moyers was tapped to become a special media assistant to the president. And one of my favorite recollections of Bill Moyers is when he tells the story, and it was reported at the time as well by others and verified, that there was the weekly official White House prayer breakfast. And LBJ, as President Johnson was known by, LBJ was not a very deep man of faith. LBJ was rather crass and crude and was pretty much just a ruffian. Let's just put it as it was. Anyway, at the prayer breakfast, and LBJ was not fond of going to prayer breakfasts or church or anything. But anyway, Moyers, being the former Methodist lay preacher and a deep man of faith, Bill Moyers was asked by those that put together the prayer breakfast that particular week to lead in the blessing on the food. And so as they all gathered around and they're up there and they begin serving them to serve the meal, and so Moyers comes to his time when he is supposed to lead in the opening prayer for the prayer breakfast. And so Bill Moyers asks everyone to bow their heads, and he with his soft-spoken Texas drawl, he begins to pray. In the middle of his prayer, as only LBJ would do, LBJ says, "Bill, speak up. I can't hear." And with wisdom that comes from being an old preacher, Bill Moyers said, "Mr. President, I'm not speaking to you." True story. You know, for the most part, prayer is supposed to be a private conversation between you and God, and it's not meant for anybody else. You know, I get tickled sometimes when you have prayer meetings and you see folks look at it as a competition of who can pray the most eloquent prayer, and I'm going, "Oh my goodness, are you not paying attention to what prayer is all about? Prayer isn't usually for the ears of other people, it's for you and God." Well, in John chapter 17, the Holy Spirit has recorded for us the lengthy prayer from the lips of Jesus that I will call the greatest prayer ever prayed. But it's a prayer that was meant not just between Jesus and the Father, but this is one of those rare times when the prayer was also meant for those who were with Jesus, who were hearing him pray. So let's look here in John chapter 17. And let's begin to see what Jesus has to say in this prayer. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love which you loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the real Lord's Prayer, people. This is where Jesus prayed for his disciples and prayed for us. And I want you to note verse 13, when Jesus said, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Jesus intended this prayer not only for the ears of the Father, but for the ears of all who would come after him. George Newton was a great preacher in the 1600s. And George Newton preached 56 sermons. Unique, each one. 56 sermons on this great chapter. Now, I don't know if I could come up with 56 sermons, and I know you're worried that I might, but what I'm trying to say is, in this chapter, there are heights that I can't climb in one sermon. There are depths that are so deep, I will never plumb them all in one sermon. The water here is deeper than we can dive today. But it's my prayer that by the Holy Spirit, we'll at least get a little bit of the glory of the greatest prayer ever prayed. Let's begin simply by looking at Jesus' petition of his Father. Petition is another name for meaning asking something from God. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father," and he began his prayer. Notice that this is just hours before he would cry out to the Father from the cross. And he's calling on the Father to in prayer. If Jesus, facing the great hour of his earthly ministry, knew that he needed to plead with the Father, how much more necessary is it that we have prayer in our own lives? In the first few verses of this prayer, Jesus prays for himself. Let's look at the petition's aim. Jesus said in verse 1, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Do you see it? In this prayer, Jesus is not just praying for his own glory. His commitment is for the glory of his heavenly Father. Jesus' prayer has the aim that as you glorify me, Father, ultimately you receive all the glory. Do you pray like that? Do you pray in such a way that if God gives you the things that you ask for in prayer, that he receives all the glory? Or could it be that your prayers, that our prayers, are often so self-centered and so self-focused that the answer to our prayer only brings benefit to us and not the glory of the Heavenly Father? If that's the case, have you ever thought maybe that's why God doesn't seem to answer your prayers? The money that you asked for doesn't come to you because you don't plan to use it on the glory of the kingdom of God? Maybe the healing hasn't come because you really don't intend to give back that restored health in service and glory to God? No, Baptists, we don't do catechisms. But in the Presbyterian Church, the old shorter Westminster Catechism begins with this question. What is the chief end? What is the primary purpose? What is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the aim of Jesus' great prayer here. It's simply that God be glorified. Should that not be the aim of our prayer as well? And so what we get then is the petition's answer. Jesus asked for the glory of God, but how exactly did Jesus want this to happen? Did Jesus pray that God, you be glorified by stopping the evil plot of Judas Iscariot and these enemies that are even now on their way to arrest Jesus? And God, you just stop it. And God, you take the cross away from me. Wasn't what Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed that, Father, even as I go to the cross, you be glorified. That's the hour he's talking about. Look at verses 2 and 3. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The eternal life that he gives to his people comes by Jesus' death on the cross for his people. If this prayer is ever going to be answered, Jesus is going to have to suffer a death that appears to be anything but glorious. For the Father to be glorified, the Son would have to be abased. But yet Jesus is able to see the Father's glory. And he's able to see his glory even in the cross because he can look beyond the grave and he is trusting in his Father for Easter Sunday. He's trusting for his own resurrection. And that's what he's speaking about. That even though in this world Jesus, before he went to the cross, would not wear a crown of gold, instead he would wear a crown of thorns, Jesus looks ahead in verse 5 and says, Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Before the world was ever founded. Before the world was ever created. I was with you in eternity. Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God. And now I know that I am going back to that. He's looking beyond the cross. Oh, how different we are from our Lord, aren't we? Don't we always pray, Lord, rescue me from my suffering. Lord, relieve me from my suffering. Do we ever stop to consider that the cross of suffering that God brings into our lives is the pathway for our greater good and our glory, and most ultimately, the glory of God? What if the prayer you really need to pray is not, Lord, get me out of this, but rather the prayer we need to pray is, God, guide me through this for your glory? What if your pleading to the Father needs to be, thy will be done, not my will be done? That's Jesus' petition to the Father. Now let's look at Jesus' prayer for his followers. You know, in the first few verses of this prayer, Jesus is praying for himself. But by far, the bulk of this chapter is taking up with the prayer for those 11 disciples, because Judas has now betrayed and gone on. But he's praying for those 11. And as you were going to see in a moment, and I hope you caught it in verse 20, and by extension, Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for us. He's praying for you. And when we realize that Jesus at that hour was praying for us, praying for you right now, look at what Jesus said of you. Look at how he described us. Look at verse 6. Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me. This is a reminder that before the world was ever created, God has called us out and chosen us for salvation. He elected us to salvation in eternity past. But notice Jesus says also, however, that these men had believed upon him. In verse 6, Jesus said, and they have kept your word. Do you see it? Look down at verse 10. Jesus summed it up by saying, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. The great mystery of the salvation is of our salvation is that somehow, for some reason, before the world was ever created, before we ever knew God, God has chosen us. But yet, at the same time, in Christ, each one of us is called to come to the cross of Jesus and believe in our hearts. It's a parallel track. On one hand, we are chosen, but on the other hand, we choose God. I can't reconcile those two. All I can tell you is they're parallel tracks, and they come together at the feet of Jesus in glory. That's what Jesus said about you. Look at what Jesus sought for you. Here's our Lord about to leave the world, and he's praying for those of us that are going to be left behind. While Jesus had been with these men, he kept them close to the Father. But when he left, he's praying, now, Father, you keep them close together to one another. He's seeking their unity in this world. Look at verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. Jesus prayed, God, keep them together as one. Help them stick together after I have gone back to heaven. Jesus also prayed for their security in the world. Jesus knew the world was going to hate these guys. Just as they had hated him and took him to the cross, the world was going to hate them just as much. But you notice that his prayer was not that, God, you take them out of the world. His prayer was, God, while they're in this world, watch over them. Look at verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Jesus had taught these men to pray, deliver us from evil. And now he's praying that very thing for them. But not only had Jesus prayed for their oneness and their security, but he prayed for our sanctification. He said, sanctify my followers. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. You know, that word sanctify, that's a big word we hear in church sometimes. It's not a difficult word. It's not a difficult word at all. It just means to set something apart for God. That's all it means, to be set apart for God. And Jesus wanted them to be set apart by God's truth. The truth of God would set apart his people for the work of God. And Jesus is saying, this is something I'm going to do for them before I ever expect it from them. In verse 19, he said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I'm going to set myself aside and go to the cross so that they can be set aside for your service. I hope you get this, folks. Jesus is not praying for your success in life. He's not praying for your success. He is praying for your service. He's not praying that you will be happy in an evil world. He is praying that you will be holy in an evil world. That you will be set apart for his kingdom. We've seen what Jesus said of you in this prayer. We've seen what Jesus sought for you. And I love this part, what Jesus saw in you. One of the things I love about our God is that when he looks at us, when he looks at me, he doesn't see me for what I am right now. He sees me for what I'm going to become. When he looks at you, he sees you for your full potential. Look at verse 20 again now. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Jesus is looking beyond these original disciples, and he's looking at the whole vast church throughout history. He's looking at every believer. He's looking at you. You've all heard some of you may not have heard the song, but there was a classic old Southern gospel song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Folks, before he ever went to the cross, when he prayed this night in John 17, you were on his mind. Do you know that Jesus prayed for Brown Deer Baptist Church before there was ever a Brown Deer, Wisconsin? And before we leave this great chapter and this great prayer, yes, we've considered Jesus' petition of his Father. And yes, we've looked at Jesus' prayer for his followers. But the third thing I want you to see is that Jesus points to his future. Jesus closes this magnificent prayer on such an amazing high note. He points us to the future of his glory. You might say he starts with a prayer for glory, and then he ends it with a preview of glory. And what is this future that Jesus points to? He points to a reunion with you. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is saying, yes, I'm leaving my disciples in this world, but I'm not leaving them here permanently. My desire, God, is that, Father, is that one day, as you take me to heaven, when I ascend back after my resurrection, when I ascend back to heaven, and I'm seated at your right hand in glory on that day, Father, my desire is that they get to come along too. That they get to come and be where I am. You know, in John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus said to us, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know that passage, right? Just recently preached on it a few weeks back. And in verse 2, Jesus said, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That where I am, there you may be also. He's saying it again right here in chapter 17. And let me ask you something. Is that desire of the heart of Christ going to be denied by the Father? No. No. The day is coming where all of us that he prayed for are going to be reunited with him where he is. And Jesus says, Father, I really want this. Let me let you in on a little something. I want it too, don't you? I'm looking forward to that. The old hymn writer Charles Gabriel wrote an old song we rarely sing anymore. Oh, that'll be glory for me. It was that old song. And there's a line in there. When by the gift of his infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Yes, there's going to be a reunion with you in the future. And then Jesus points us to a future where he wants a relationship with you. You know, being with Jesus in glory, for a lot of us seems like, man, that's a long way away. We just don't know. But we do know, on the night he prayed this in John 17, for those of us that wouldn't be born for 2,000 years, we know that was a long time ago that he prayed that prayer. But look at how he closed it in verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. You might want to underline in verse 26 when Jesus says, and will make it known. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he left behind a world that really largely did not know him. But he left behind also a handful of people that really did know him. He had spent some 3 years making the truth of God and the love of God known to these guys. And his promise was that he was going to continue to declare his Father to them, so that the kind of love that they had for him would remain. It would happen in their lives until they were reunited in glory one day. As you listen to the prayer here, the greatest prayer ever prayed some 2,000 years ago, do you get a sense that, you know, Jesus really loves you? He cares about you? And did you know he's praying for you right now, even today? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we are told that Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, that Jesus now lives forever to make intercession for us. You know what that word intercession means? That's prayer. That even right now before his Father, as I'm talking about how wonderful he is, you know what Jesus is doing? He's praying for me as I preach this word today. He's praying, oh Father, help him get it right. Help him not fumble the ball right here. Help him not to mess up. And he's praying for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, open their hearts. Help them see the truth of the prayer that I prayed in John 17. Oh, Father, help them not be distracted by the things of this world. He's praying right now that you will know the Father, that you will be guarded and guided and given the grace to serve Him. He's praying for you right now. We get to an invitation at the end of a message, and in our Baptist tradition, we have the altar call. So many times, don't we, when we come to an invitation in a church, don't we start thinking about, oh good, it's all over. The fat man finally hushed. We're going to have our benediction soon and we can get out the door and get on to lunch and the rest of our day. And we start looking around to make sure we gather up our stuff. And while we sometimes, and folks, I've sat where you've sat, and I've done that too. And while we're thinking that, you know what Jesus is doing? He's praying, oh Father, help them focus on what I'm trying to say. Help them focus on me. Help them see your glory today. Keep their heart open. You know, it's a special thing when you have someone pray for you, and especially when someone is presently with you. They put an arm around you or take you by the hand and pray for you. Isn't that a blessing? Jesus is doing that right now for you. If you've never asked Jesus into your life as your Savior, guys and ladies, that's what he's praying. Oh, that you would come. If your heart's burdened and you're praying, oh God, get me out of this, he's praying, oh, don't you see that I have a greater glory? Maybe you need to stop praying, get me out of this, but guide me through it. What is he praying for you today? Listen. Hear his voice. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so grateful that you are before our Heavenly Father and that you're praying for us even now. God, let us hear the prayer that you have for each of us. Father in heaven, let us respond. Bless this time of invitation and the open altar. In the name of your precious Son, we pray. Amen. Let's stand.